Hi everyone, welcome
Love
to
Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Tall Paul, and welcome to the Ask Tall Paul Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight, hopefully you're going to have Christy Howard on the line with us. She's a very good friend of mine, and we want to have a regular show about how you foster personal development. And I believe she just dialed in. She was having a problem with her router. Just a minute. Christy, are you there?
Hi, Paul. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes. Glad you made it. Welcome.
Just in the nick of time.
talk about splitting seconds right there. I mean, it was definitely, I was a little worried. But welcome. So you have some new equipment that's not working so well, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, I should have just left the old one in place. And, you know, I was like, oh, but I'll probably get, you know, a better connection and blah, blah, blah. And I worked right up into the end. It's like, oh, my gosh, I can't get this thing to work.
Well, I'm glad you made it. So hopefully it'll work out eventually.
Yeah,
so,
I'll have my battle with it afterwards.
There you go. So tonight's topic is the power of asking the right questions of ourselves and others and mm-hmm. why curiosity really doesn't kill the cat. So,
exactly.
Yeah, what's your first impressions on this topic?
Well, I'll tell you, I listened to one of my favorite, you know, we talk about mentors a lot in our business, and I don't actually have any personal mentors yet that I can reach out and touch type of people, although I am looking for them. But I have pretty much adopted what I call virtual mentors. And what do I mean by that? I mean people that I listen to, you know, over some form of audio or, you know, I read their books. I somehow consume their content on a regular basis to where I consider these people my mentors. Well, one of those persons is Dave Ramsey. I absolutely love Dave Ramsey. And he has an excellent, excellent podcast called Entree Leadership. And basically that's not a real word, but he basically took entrepreneurship and leadership and combined it into a word to describe what he wanted to, the product that he wanted to create or the information that he wanted to bring to his audience, which was a cross between leadership and entrepreneurship. So I was listening to one of his wonderful podcasts. And on there, he had a gentleman by the name of Steve Coleman. And Steve Coleman recently wrote a book. And gosh, I'm pulling up my notes as I'm speaking, so forgive me for fumbling a little bit. But Ken Coleman recently wrote a book. It's called One Question. And if I can find my notes, I can verify that.
Is it Ken or Steve Coleman?
Maybe it's Steve Coleman.
Well, originally it said Steve, so, okay. And what was the name of the book?
One Question.
Okay.
I'm still looking. I'm still pulling up my notes. One Question. So, one of the things, I'll just share with you some of the key things that stick out for me. I have some written notes here, so I'll just go off of those for now. And, here is the first thing that I wrote on my paper, and I love this. I love, love, love this. And it is, the biggest problem with communication is the assumption that it was accomplished. You know, the biggest problem with communication is everyone assuming that it was accomplished. And notice I say assuming, and that's because when you ask people if they are an effective communicator, most people will say, yeah, I communicate well. And, you know, they'll go off and communicate with someone, and the other person, you'll come back and ask, did you understand what was just communicated to you? And they'll be like, oh, it was clear as mud, right? But to that person, they're an effective communicator. But if you don't feel like you have a problem, it's hard to try to fix something if you don't ever think it's broken. And then he went on to talk about the power of asking great questions. And that kind of takes us into our show tonight, because he talks about in this book, and I got a chance to read the three free chapters that he offers at the website, he talks about using the power of asking great questions to be an effective leader, to be an effective business owner. You know, when you're communicating with your clients and digging down, you know, we always talk about the why factor, the why factor. Well, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do that? And he talks about how it's so important for us to ask questions. And in our culture today, basically we've been reared in this culture to not ask questions. And he actually gave some statistics about how by the eighth grade, you know, by the time a child was in the eighth grade, his curiosity has just been shot so far down to where people, you know, people are constantly saying, stop, ask questions. You know, questions are discouraged, basically. And he says by the eighth grade, the average eighth grader is only asking 2 to 3 questions a day. And the reason why that is so astonishing is because curiosity is the source of learning. It is how we learn. You know, we learn when we are curious about something. That's how we figure things out. That's how, you know, we allow our imaginations, you know, to help us to dream and to, you know, to be curious about things and to try to, you know, figure out how things work or why things work, you know.
I totally agree with that. I mean, that, like, I have some friends and they homeschool, and you know, I don't know a lot of homeschooling families, but recently, you know, I met the family's children, and they're ages 3, 6, and 9, and you know, in our traditional schools, like you're saying, you are not allowed to ask. You have to raise your hand, and you know, you have to take your turn, and you just are kind of taught not to ask questions. Well, here are these three little girls, and they are totally interested in adult conversation. Like, they want to learn, and they're not taught to, you know, take turns. It's like they're just, they're free. And I think that it's very important, you know, to be encouraged to actually be curious and to find out more about the things you're interested in. So I really love this. I mean, I've seen firsthand how, you know, like in this homeschooling situation, how it's helping these children to learn more and different things instead of what's actually in the textbook. So that's really cool, Christy.
Yeah, so I've really enjoyed this podcast, and I just took so many notes of, as he was speaking, some things that I wanted to just expound on for the show tonight. And, you know, I just think that there's so much about, you know, our culture and Western civilization and the school system that kind of stifles the learning process for us. And this is, I think, a really great example of that. And I'll tell you some of the other notes I took down was how we use questions to grow ourselves personally and how we can, you know, use questions. This is great. How do you learn how to, when you're on a fact-finding mission and you're talking to either an employee or you're talking to a client, you know, a customer or client in your business, how do you phrase your question so that you are asking questions that ignite, you know, that ignite energy instead of questions that indict personalities, you know? So often we'll be in the line of questioning, you know, with the intent of proving ourselves right. We're asking questions, but the questions are to prove ourselves right and not really to get to the bottom, you know, of what's going on. And so I think about this in my own communication style, and when you're so, I think, self-absorbed or when you're so focused on yourself and what you think is right, you kind of miss the bus, you know, that perhaps you guys won't have, perhaps the person you're communicating with, perhaps you will never agree on the topic, you know. You'll never be able to convince one another that the other is right and the other is wrong. But how about you're able to find some common ground, you know, out of mutual respect for one another because you've actually listened to each other and you've asked intelligent, thought-provoking, igniting questions rather than indicting questions that puts the other person on defense, because all your questions are is basically bullets, you know, bullets to put into their point so that you can feel better about making your point or proving your point, you know?
Right. And, you know, we both have a background in corporate America, and, you know, you see you're in a meeting and there's always, you know, people are so consistent in the way they communicate. And unfortunately, it's not in a good way all the time. And you have some people, it's like they just want to be so negative and shut everything down. And then you have others who I think are true leaders is when instead of pretending to know they have everything, all the answers, mm-hmm. they actually want to learn and they ask. See, we're each paid to do our unique roles. So if we could trust each mm-hmm. other that we're working as a team and then communicate and say, oh, you know, I don't know too much about that. Can you tell us, you know, what we need to know? And that's the curiosity part. Like, instead of pretending like we know, because especially when
exactly.
they have all the acronyms, this, and it's like, if you don't know the acronym and you're afraid, and I think fear is another component to this, is that fear, I believe, prevents us from getting what we want. So mm-hmm. I remember when I was a little child, I was very, very, very shy. And I was at a family get-together. I think I was 5 years old, maybe 6 years old. And uh-huh. I could hear them say, "Where's Paul?" And I was close enough to hear them. But mm-hmm. I was literally hiding in the closet. And why? Because I was afraid that people would ask me questions that I wouldn't be able to answer. And the truth
Aww.
Is, well, it sounds, you know, whatever. But, I mean, I was a little kid, but I've learned
yeah.
from this. And so the truth is I did want to be able to be with the family and talk to the family. I did want to be able to answer their questions. But I let fear get in the way of getting what I wanted and having what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So as I've mm-hmm. grown over the years, I've learned that over and over and over again, being shy and allowing mm-hmm. fear to have any place in what I do, it has mm-hmm. literally prevented me from receiving what it is I want. So now, mm-hmm. like in my corporate life, I've been a trainer and I've literally had students that have PhDs in quantum chemistry and all these incredible, you know, degrees and things. And if I let that be an obstacle or let a fear of that get in the way, then I wouldn't be able to receive, you know, to be able to communicate my knowledge. And what I found mm-hmm. is when you erase the fear and you just be yourself and give yourself the courage to be the expert, that's true mm-hmm. leadership. And in that corporate realm or communication, like you're saying, is like if you just let, instead of accusing people or attacking people, cutting them down, and let them do their job, let them teach us what we need to know, then mm-hmm. it's very effective.
Yes, yes, that is so true. And, you know, to touch on what you were talking about fear, absolutely. You know, fear holds us back from, I like to say that fear holds us back from greatness, you know.
Yeah.
Fear is such a factor in so many things, especially, you know, just holding us back from being, from realizing our full potential, but also in being able to relate properly to one another, because, you know, sometimes we have such a such an ignorance, I guess would be the term, such an ignorance of the other person's situation, and because we've failed to communicate properly, we haven't asked great questions to be able to gain an understanding. And, you know, whatever we don't understand, we generally are fearful of, you know, that those two kind of go hand in hand. I don't understand it. I don't know it, so I'm afraid of it. And when you don't know what you don't know, it's kind of, you know, how can you move forward? How can you step out of that box and, you know, put yourself out there? You know, fear will definitely hold you back.
And I really, people, I think they use that fear as it's comforting. You know, it's like it keeps them mm-hmm. safe, but it also keeps them from growing, and they don't excel and they don't advance themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't successful because they don't take a chance. They don't say, hey, I'm worth it. I need, instead of being silenced by others, you need to stand up and say, hey, this is what I want, and then you have to be open to receiving it. But fear mm-hmm. is this component which really prevents us from getting what we want to receive. So I know that, you know, like, once you're ready to be successful in whatever endeavor it is you want to be, get mm-hmm. rid of the fear, take a chance, try it, and then you'll find it's not so bad. And I have one more little example. I'm sorry to interrupt, but like yeah, for me, I've always had a dream my entire life of like growing fruit trees and vegetables. And I can talk about the fruit trees later, but basically the first time I went to go, I planted some tomatoes way down at the bottom of my property, and I put them in the ground, six different plants, bought them at Home Depot, and a couple weeks later, I'm like, oh, I think you're supposed to put them in a cage. Like, mm-hmm. I had no experience, no one to show me, but I at least tried it. So I bought the cages, went back to the store, got them, and I went down to put the cages around the tomatoes, and the plants were so big, I couldn't get the plants in the cage. And I'm like, oh, I guess I just won't have tomatoes. So about a month and a half later, I went back to the at the bottom of the property, and mm-hmm. I had literally over 300 perfectly, not one bug on these tomatoes, mm-hmm. 300 organic tomatoes. And it's like, wait a minute, I can grow tomatoes. And it really is. So even though I didn't do anything but put them in the ground, right. I took a chance. And yeah. I thought I failed, but I mm-hmm. I didn't know until later, until I gave it a chance, that the fruit mm-hmm. really began to show. So anyone out there, if you have any dream, just take a chance. Just try it. You'll be surprised. Mm-hmm. So that was the first year. I literally had probably 1,000 tomatoes my first year from six plants. And wow. I'm like, wow, I am a tomato grower. So the next year, what do you think I grew? Tomatoes. But lots of them. I grew 23 different varieties of tomatoes. But you know, Chrissy, wow. this is another funny thing. I don't even like tomatoes. But what I do like is helping other people. So I'd give these tomatoes as gifts, and I learned how to can and make ketchup. And, you know, from this one little chance, which I didn't believe yeah. I could do, so much mm-hmm. goodness came from it, and an abundance, this wealth of joy. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just an incredible thing. Once you take one little chance, and mm-hmm. So this curiosity thing that you're bringing up, I love it.
Yeah. Yes, yes, definitely. I love that story, because just think about how many other people's lives you were able to touch, you know, as a result of you, like you said, stepping out of that box and, when can I grow some tomatoes? You know, and like you said, you got so much fulfillment and joy out of that experience. And what you were doing is you were learning, you know, you were learning all these great things, and so you were enjoying that, and then you were able to, you know, tie it into providing something back to someone else. And that most people feel good, you know, doing things for other people. I know I do. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. And the other thing that I've learned is that even the so quote unquote experts, they don't mm-hmm. really even know. So all these very, very multi-successful, you know, billionaires, when mm-hmm. they started, they didn't know how it was going to end. They started with an mm-hmm. idea, and then they knew that just making space within their own consciousness for this concept, this idea, that mm-hmm. it would happen. But if you don't mm-hmm. dream, and if you don't try, nothing, I mean, it's absolutely guaranteed. If you don't try, nothing is going to happen.
Right. Yeah, you can bet on that.
So, the first year were tomatoes. Second year were lots of tomatoes, but then I added some squash and, you know, onions and carrots. And now, I mean, I grow all kinds of different things. It's mm-hmm. incredible, and I just really encourage anyone who's kind of stuck and not sure, like, where to go, call in. Mm-hmm. Call into mm-hmm. our show and ask us, you know, for advice. And I really think that when you have someone to bounce ideas off of, you know, you kind of have a support network, and you learn from other people who aren't afraid. So, you know, when you're reading, you know, listening to the blog or the podcast and reading different books, these people took a chance and they went out there and they started doing it. And so Christy and I are going to be here for you on our radio show. So call on in, and we want to hear from you, and we'll help you too. All right, so tell us some more about what you learned on this podcast.
Yeah, so I came up with a thing, curiosity doesn't kill the cat, and I'll tell you where I got that from. It's because, you know, I've been studying and working on my own personal money blueprint. And you know how they talk about all of the common negative sayings that people associate with money, like money doesn't grow on trees, and you can't take it with you, and you know, money is the root of all evil, and all of these things that are associated with money that, you know, give us a negative relationship with money. Well, I got to think in the same fashion about curiosity, and I said, well, you know what, curiosity has been kind of demonized the same way, you know, oh, curiosity kills the cat, you know, and don't ask too many questions. And, you know, it's just, there's just this stigma that's attached to anyone who wants to be what I call ethically curious, you know, just always asking why. And what happens when you question authority? Oh, you're being defiant, you know. You just want to know why, and it's your human right to want to know why. But it's sucked right out of us. It's stifled. We're stifled, and we're discouraged to ask those things. And I don't even think I ever really realized it, Paul, until today when I listened to that podcast, and I was like, oh my God, I know exactly what I want to talk about tonight, because this is what is happening to us. This is what is happening to our children. And what it ends up being is that we end up raising basically programmed robots,
yeah,
you know, that
right.
Go out into the workforce that don't have the ability to think for themselves. They need to be told everything. And I can attest to that because I was a manager in corporate, and I can attest to having to tell people some of the most ridiculous things that you would think, gosh, you could have thought that one out for yourself, couldn't you? But because we have, because we've conditioned people to be so dependent on being told everything to do and not being able to question authority and question whether, you know, something is right or wrong based off of who's asking. You know, we use that term expert, and I think we use it way too generously. Because to me, you know, when you say an expert, you know, we used to say SME all the time. In corporate world, you probably hear SME
right.
all the time, subject matter expert. And I never did like that term, because to me, if you're saying that you're an expert in something, you're saying that you know it all. And nobody likes a know-it-all, you know. Nobody likes a know-it-all. And I feel like if you think you know it all, then you have effectively stopped growing. You know,
that's
if you
right.
know it all, then you're no longer growing. And who wants? I don't want to take advice from you, because you foolishly feel like you know everything, and you no longer need to grow. Because I'm gonna continue to grow and to evolve into, you know, a better version of me, you know, every breath I take until the last breath I take. I never want to be of the mindset that I feel like I know it all, or that I no longer have space to grow. Because if you're not growing, then, I mean, literally, scientifically, if something is not growing, then it must be dying, you know?
Yeah.
So the show was just very insightful. And if you have a chance to go and check out Dave Ramsey, I so recommend him, because he has some great, great people that he interviews and talks about their books, and oftentimes, just like this book. And I did pull up my notes, and the gentleman's name, you guys just bear with me, is Ken Coleman. Okay, so the gentleman's name is Ken Coleman, and the book that he has is called One Question. And so that's where I got to think for tonight's show was, how can we look at ourselves? You know, they say that the journey inward is the longest journey that you'll ever take. How can we look within ourselves and see how we can do a better job at communicating with each other? And that starts with asking great questions, you know, questions that don't assault or indict, questions that don't put people on the defensive, questions that aren't, you know, only for the benefit of proving our own point, but questions that probe, questions that make people think, you know, for brainstorming and make people able to solve problems. And I kind of took that as my theme all day long, and to myself, I thought about that, and I tried to think about how do I communicate with people, and what type of questions do I ask, and I wonder how people feel about the way that I pose questions to them, you know?
Right, so, and I think it's also a great way to build relationships, meaning, you know, like in your own, any relationship. If someone's doing all the talking, and the other person is just like, and no, they're not asking their own questions, it's like, what? How boring. And I just think
it's a one-sided conversation, isn't it?
Like, if you're on a first date and one person is doing all the questions, you know, like, well, what do you like to eat? Where did you grow up? What's this? What's that? Da, da, da. I mean, it's like, thank God at least that person's talking. What about the other one, you know? So I think it's important. Ask questions. Because if you're not asking questions, I'm thinking, wow, this person's like a dud. And they probably are. Because they've been trained to be quiet. They've been trained to not ask questions. They've been trained to be stifled in their growth. But by asking questions, you're learning. And you're, you know, it's an opportunity to, you know, like build those relationships and do perhaps find a whole new arena. So, like, you know, I mentioned that I started this gardening thing. Well, I had heard of something called permaculture. Well, you know, there's gardening, but then there's something called permaculture. So I could have been like, oh, that sounds too difficult because I didn't know anything about it. If I allowed myself to be afraid or just allowed myself to not be curious, I would have just ended it right there. But I heard about this thing, and I'm like, I'm going to take a chance because I figured out I do know how to grow tomatoes.
And very well.
I heard about this group, a permaculture group in my area, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll go. I really didn't want to meet new people. I didn't want to get sucked into something that, you know, is this going to require more time? And, you know, I just, it was so unknown to me. So I went, and oh my gosh, it has completely opened up a whole new realm for me, not only of just knowledge and information that will help my gardening, but also I have new friends. I have new, you know, it's just so many things. Like, it's even a new stream of income for me. Like, there's ways for me to make money through this and help others to learn and others to make money. And without even making that one little step and being curious about it, I would have missed out on, I've done it for 1 year, 1 year of pure joy. I love, and I'm patting myself on the back. Thank you, Paul, for taking the risk, for being curious and learning something new.
Okay. Now, I've heard of it, and I know it has something to do with sustainable living.
Yes.
Sustainable, okay. But could you just expound a little bit on that, Paul?
Sure. Well, actually, tomorrow's Thursday, and my friend Joey D'Elia and I are going to have another podcast on this very topic of podcasts, and it's creating sustainable systems for sustainable living. So basically, it's not just about growing food, but it's about many different things. So water harvesting, alternative energy, and it's creating systems which can reuse and recycle, but you stack functions. So when you create, you put something in a let's say in a garden, there's a form of gardening called the Three Sisters, where you have a sunflower, and you have beans, and you have squash. And this is an ancient technology that the Native Americans used to grow their food. So this would be a stacked function where the sunflower grows tall, and the beans grow up the sunflower so that they're off the ground and they don't get eaten by animals, and they need the air. And then the squash underneath covers the ground to hold in water. You don't need as much water. It shades the earth. Now, this is a very easy example, but it's sort of a very good example of what multiple purposes, stacking functions. And if anyone can join us tomorrow, Joey and I will have a weekly, every Thursday, we'll talk about permaculture and creating these sustainable systems to reuse our resources. And one of the main ethics of permaculture is return of surplus. So whatever we gain from this permaculture, we return any surplus, we give it back to nature, or we give take care of the other people in our lives, so that together we're not, you know, we're
being
helping.
Wasteful.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, and I'm so excited about it. And everyone, please go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's or your local hardware store, buy some seeds, buy a tomato plant, you get started. I don't understand how we got so far removed from growing our own food. And I just think it's a very creative thing. It's a life-giving thing. And it's all about community. So if one person's growing oranges in your neighborhood, you can grow plums, and someone else can grow peaches. And when the peaches are in season, you share them with your neighbors. It's a very beautiful.
Yeah, and when the plums are in season, they can share. Yeah, it's the barter system. That's how we developed currency. You know, we used to trade stuff that we had. So that's very beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Paul. You just piqued my curiosity.
Tune in tomorrow, Christy.
Yeah, I definitely will. So, okay. So back to our topic, though, about asking questions and so forth. I'll share with you a few more of the nuggets that I got from the podcast. And this is a paraphrase because I didn't get the quote exactly, and he didn't get it exactly either when he was on the podcast, but there is an anonymous quote out there that basically says, our assumptions are like windows to our lives. Okay? Our assumptions are like windows to our lives. And then he went on to say, scrub the windows to let the light come in. So a lot of times we have a lot of assumptions of how things are with something that we are ignorant about, something that we don't have a good understanding of. It's outside of our grasp because we haven't explored it. We haven't spoken to someone and asked the right questions. Maybe we didn't even desire to know, but have you ever felt like you had a prejudice against something? You know, it can be anything. You know, it could be, oh, I have a prejudice against flats. And that's actually true.
What's the word?
Flat shoes. Like, if you ever noticed, I almost never have on flat shoes because for whatever reason, you know, I'm such a girly girl. I grew up with Barbie and the dolls, and they always had on, you know, the high heels. And I have a connotation that, you know, women are supposed to be in heels, you know, to look more like a woman. And I know that that's silly, and I know that that's not true, of course, but that's kind of what was fixed in my head from, you know, from what I saw growing up, you know, from women, that women wear heels, you know, and that's the way you look nice. So as a result of that, a few years ago, I fell and I broke my ankle, and that made it very difficult for me to wear heels for a long time. Now I'm tenacious, so I got back into my heels, but for a long time I could not wear heels. I had to wear flats because of my ankle injury, and I was feeling really bad about it. So I was like, oh, these ugly flat shoes. Who wears flat shoes? I hate these shoes. I didn't think that I looked nice, and you know I was used to, you know, being tall and my heels and assumptions, you know, and things that you get in your head about things, not based off of anything that's factual, but just based off of what you assume or what you think is true, you know. And so our assumptions are like windows to our lives, and sometimes you have to scrub your windows, you know. You have to take down the cobwebs and clean those windows. You have to scrub your windows to let light come in so that you can see a different perspective. And I was forced to see a different perspective when I had to go out and buy flats and wear flats for basically a whole year, you know, because I could not wear heels. And I found out that there was some cute flats and that I could be fashionable in flat shoes, that I didn't have to have on, you know, a stiletto heel all the time. And as a result of that experience, but had I never broken my ankle and been forced to wear flats, I would have never came to that, you know, that conclusion. I would have forever been in heels and forever been adverse to flats, you know. And so I guess having been put in that situation of having to wear heels made me kind of explore the whole new — I'm passionate about shoes, if you haven't noticed. It made me explore this whole other world of, you know, beautiful flat shoes, and now I'm the proud owner of several pairs of flat shoes, and they are quite comfortable, and they can be quite stylish. So I learned that from, you know, from being pushed outside of my box when I broke my ankle.
Now, did you have to double your budget on that, or did you stick to your initial budget? I'm a little worried.
I was able.
Okay, well, that's good.
I was able to stick to my initial budget. I mean, I can remember the first pairs of shoes that I could wear, you know, after I came out of the cast in the boot. They were the ugliest shoes. Oh, my goodness. They were like the orthopedic shoes.
Oh. Well, maybe that's a business opportunity to develop orthopedic shoes that are stylish.
Yeah, exactly, because those things are hideous. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't wait to get out of them. But so that was one of the things that I wanted to share with that quote, because I thought that that was very insightful, that you need to scrub your windows from time to time. Your windows get, you know, they get dirty. They get they get to where you can't see clearly. So from time to time, you need to scrub your windows to let some new light come in. Then they talked about finding common ground. And I kind of touched a little bit on common ground when I said that you need to start learning how to ask questions that are probing questions, you know, that probe down to the nuts and bolts, that probe down to the core of the situation, because that's where you're going to get your synergy, that's where you're going to get your answers, that's where you're going to get your understanding. So you should be asking questions that probe instead of questions that that prove, you know. And that just goes back to, you know, stop trying to ask questions that will prove your point. Attorneys are very gifted at this, and this is something that they teach you to do in law school, is to ask questions that prove your point. And so that's the mark of a very good attorney, someone who's trying to win an argument, you know, is someone who is trying to ask questions that lead to basically their point of view and proving their point. And, you know, when you're trying to be an effective communicator, leader, business owner, because you're trying to effectively service your customers and give your customers what they want, you need to be able to ask, because sometimes people don't know what they want. And I'm sure you can attest to this, Paul, but being in corporate, a lot of times my government customer didn't know what they want. So it was up to me, you know, to be able to ask them the right questions, you know, that they didn't even, hadn't even thought of, but I would ask them the right questions to lead them down the path of let's brainstorm and figure out what your true requirements are. So sometimes we have to help each other with that, and that all starts by learning how to ask good, non-threatening questions that lead people down the path of brainstorming and down the path of exploration rather than putting them down the path of defensive.
Yes, definitely.
And let's see, I have, this is a great nugget too. So they were talking about, I used the term ethically curious. And the reason why I say being ethically curious is because you can never get content, with your knowledge and content with where you are. So never be satisfied that I've learned enough about this, or, oh, I've learned enough about that. Just always, you know, always push the envelope, so to speak. And I love this. He talked about sweet spots, you know, sweet spots. And one of the things that they said, and this is a paraphrase again, this is it's not an exact quote, but a paraphrase of what I took away from the conversation, and it says, when you're able to identify your greatest strength, you know, as a person, we all have strengths and weaknesses, right? So once you have identified your greatest strength or your greatest gift, your greatest talent, you know, what God has blessed you with to go forth and bless others with, once you've identified that thing, you know, and then you've identified your greatest passion. So, you know, your strength may be, I'm an awesome singer. And then your passion may be, I don't know, I love to perform, or, you know, or maybe your passion may be some type of charity. So when you can tie your greatest strength with your greatest passion together, they say that you have effectively connected your sweet spot. Because now you're able to use the talent that you've been given, you know, from the Creator, or whatever you want to call Him. I try not to bring too much religion into my talk. So I apologize. Whatever you call Him, you know, your higher being, your Creator, whatever you want to call how you think we got here, you know, it's indifferent to me, but. Whatever you want to call that, when you can take that and pair it with the thing that you're the most passionate about in the whole wide world, you know, maybe it's growing tomatoes, you know, picking on Paul a little bit.
All right.
But when you can take those passions and you can bring it together, you've ultimately found your sweet spot, and that's what you can go forth with and do greatness, basically. You can go forth with those two things in that combination, and you can do greatness and stay in that sweet spot to where you're passionate and you're using a natural ability, you know? You're using a natural ability. You're using a talent that's all yours, that's uniquely yours, and I just thought that was a really beautiful, really beautiful point that he brought out. I think I even tweeted it today.
Yes, definitely. So where did you find this podcast?
Okay, the podcast is Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership, and you can either go to his website, which is daveramsey.com, I believe. Let me verify that. Or I'm sure if you Google Entree Leadership, and it's spelled just like it sounds, it takes the first part of entrepreneurship, the entre of entrepreneurship, and then leadership is at the end of it. So Entree Leadership Podcast. And
all
it
right.
Is Dave Ramsey. If you go to daveramsey.com and go under classes, and you'll see podcasts there. And you can listen for free. You can listen right online. You can download it to your iPod or other or iPhone or, you know, what have you. And you can listen to these for free. It's amazing how much free information is available to us today. And, you know, we are always out trying to spend money on something. And there's so much really good free, you know, information out there available to us. These podcasts are amazing. And, I mean, I love Dave Ramsey, and I love Pat Flynn, and I love Amy Porterfield. You know, I have my favorites, but there's thousands, you know, there's thousands of other podcasts out there that I'm sure are equally as worthy to be, you know, to be spoke of that are remarkable. So I just encourage people, you know, instead of filling your brain, you know, with the television and with the news, and all of the other negativity that we don't even realize that you're constantly being hit with throughout your day, you know, the brain is such a wonderful organ. You don't realize how much the brain shelters you from all of the stuff that it's processing all of the time. So give yourself a break sometimes from all of that reality, or what some want to perceive as reality, and replace it with something positive that can help to grow you, grow your spirit, lift your spirits, change your vibration, you know, and make you a better person. And you can choose from, you know, you can listen to Dave Ramsey, or you can listen to Lucy Liu, or whoever that may be for you. But I just encourage people to do that, because you don't realize repetition is the mother of skill. So anything that you keep repeating and keeps being, you know, just over and over, how do we say when something is reinforced? Things
right.
that are reinforced over and over and over in your head, guess what? That's going to become your reality. And so if you continue, you know, that's why I don't have cable anymore. I don't watch TV, because it has no place in my life, you know?
Yeah, they say garbage in, garbage out.
Yes.
So if you're listening to garbage and just noise, it's nothing good can come of it. But if you're filling
right.
yourself with very positive messages and very good things will come of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I say that with such love and compassion, because I look at myself, and the change that I've seen in myself over the last 6 months is just miraculous. Let's rewind 6 months ago, and Christy wouldn't have even been able to speak for this amount of time on anything positive, because the only thing that I would be talking to you about would be politics and what's going on in the government. And, you know, who got shot, killed, stabbed, wounded, or something on TV.
Yeah.
That's what my world was. You know?
Well, I promise you, I'm never going to talk to you about politics. That's absolutely the one thing I have no interest in. I mean, I really don't.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, gosh.
Me neither. And, oh, this is one more really beautiful, I have two more beautiful points I want to leave the audience with, and it is that you are and will be 10 years from now a product of the people that you have in your life. I'm sorry. A product of the people that you have in your life and the books that you read. So that just goes back to, you know, you take the 5 people that you spend the most time around, and that's basically a synopsis of who you are. He says basically that you are and will be 10 years from now a product of the people that you meet and have in your life and the books that you read. So make sure that the things that you're reading and the people that you allow to have access to you represent the type of person that you want to be. You know, so, and sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, because we all have, you know, some friends or even family, you know, that may not be kind of representing the picture the picture of humanity that we want to represent for ourselves. And I just caution you that, you know, if you have too many weeds in the garden, guess what? Eventually they ruin the crop that you want, right? So
yes. It sounds like you're going to get out there in that garden soon, aren't you, Christy?
You know what, Paul? I have plants. If you see my house, I have plants all over my house.
Oh,
I love them. I probably have, just on this one level, I live in a townhome. I'm just looking around right now. I have two big trees. And I always like to get fresh flowers, too. I probably have about a dozen plants just on this one level of my house because I just love plants. So I've always wanted to have my own herb garden, actually.
And what are you waiting for?
You know what? Nothing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not waiting on anything other than just to just stop saying I'm going to do it and just do it.
That's my point. I literally, Christy, I bought every book about gardening, every book about this, every book about that. And, like, the funny thing is, like, canning. Like, I knew I wanted to grow fruit, and I knew I wanted to make jams and jellies. So, literally, I had all these books. I even had the canning equipment for 8 years in my garage waiting. Because you'd read these books and it would say, you know, if you don't do it right, you'll kill someone. And it's like, oh, you know. But again, it's where that fear comes in place.
Yeah.
If you allow fear to disable you, that's exactly what you're going to get. You're going to be disabled. You're not going to accomplish anything. And these dreams of yours are going to fade and die away.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, you know, building the courage and just taking the chance, taking a step. I'll tell you, the first time I made jam, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the easiest thing to do. I mean, making jam is so easy. Don't read the books or just ignore that part where it says, you know, if you don't do it right, you're going to kill somebody. Bull. I mean, I just don't get it. So, anyway.
And it sounds like such a production to me, Paul. I tell you, when you say making jam, making your own jelly, I'm like, that sounds like such a production. I wouldn't know where to start.
But literally, it's not. And it's fun. And, you know, everyone has their own hobbies and stuff. But
as you
take a chance and you start investing time in it and meeting other people with a common interest, and that's kind of what we're doing here. Like, we want to attract people into our lives that are interested in what we're interested in and wanting to better themselves, to become better people, and to empower one another to live with life instead of being stagnant and alone at home and, you know, just watching TV in, you know, as a zombie.
Yeah, you're right, the zombie effect.
Yeah, that's why I'm so grateful that I met you recently. And, you know, I think together we have a lot to contribute and, you know, a lot to offer. And I know that, like, we're in a common business together, but we each have our own approach. And Christy, you know, works a lot with women and different every day. Why don't you share a little bit about your daily stuff, products that you share with people on the web?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So I try to, I call it, I try to send a dose of happy to as many people as I can. And I'm in a very powerful women's group. We have a great synergy going right now where we're doing a 90-day video challenge. And this is basically just a women's group. And a shout-out to my girl, Tanisha Adjo. She's the founder of this group. And it's basically just a group of women entrepreneurs. We're all internet marketers, so we're all, you know, making it happen and doing it on the laptops and on the Macs and so forth. And we have a group that we maintain within Facebook, within the social media app Facebook. And let me tell you, we just do some really powerful and beautiful things, you know, amongst each other, together and separately. And we support each other, and, you know, we celebrate each other's successes. You know, when one person makes a sale, we all get in the chat and we say, hey, I got a sale today. And everybody goes, oh, that's great, woo. And we celebrate together. And, you know, at the end of the day, if somebody hasn't gotten a sale, you know, we kind of all get together and lift that person up and say, well, you know what, tomorrow will be a better day. And I know it may sound a little trivial to some of you listening, but how many times a day do you wish that you had someone to just lift you up when you get something, when something disappointing happens? Or how many times a day does something good happen and you wish that you could just kind of look to your left or right and have somebody there to celebrate that moment with you? You know, I know that before I had this group that I did not have that, and now I do, because a lot of times when you start a new business and you're going down the road of entrepreneurship, especially if it's something that's, you know, unconventional, like internet marketing can be perceived as an unconventional business. Maybe your friends and family don't understand it. Maybe they don't support it. Maybe, you know, they don't know what you're doing. So a lot of times it can be lonely. You know, it can be lonely when you don't have anybody to relate to that can say, oh, good job, Christy, you know, way to go. And not to say that we all need attaboys, you know, to continue on, but certainly the human spirit needs encouragement. You know, at our core, we're all the same. And we all need that encouragement, you know, as well as someone to lift us up when we fall down, you know, to help us, to encourage us either way. So the women's group for me has been life-changing, literally life-changing, and it has transformed my business. It has transformed my life. And I feel like even though some of those women I've never even met in person, I spend hours a day with them, you know, conversing back and forth on the chat, and I feel like they're always right there with me, you know, because they're always just one click away, you know, that I can type something in the chat and they're all there, you know, to help me.
That's great. Now, we just have 3 minutes left, and I wanted to, Christy's website is KristyHoward.com, KristieHoward.com. My website is AskTallPaul.com. And if you have any ideas for shows, questions you may have, you can email me at AskTallPaul@gmail.com. Some upcoming episodes. Tomorrow on Thursday, we have Joey D'Elia coming, and we're going to talk about permaculture, creating sustainable. It's going to be great. And then Christy and I meet again on Friday for our Freedom Friday. We're going to talk about dreams and, you know, creating a vision of what you want, how do you achieve it, and attract that into your life, living a lifestyle for, you know, for freedom, basically.
Freedom and abundance.
And next week I have an incredible guest coming on, I believe, Tuesday. Her name is Kalei, and she is a Hawaiian kahuna princess. She's a Hawaiian healer. And it's going to be quite a treat to learn about the aloha and the ways of the kahuna. So if you can join us, go ahead and look at my blog talk radio /AskTallPaul, but look for the upcoming shows. And we really, really appreciate you sharing and going to Twitter and Facebook, following us on our websites, and sharing the word. And we want to be your new friends here on Blog Talk Radio. All right. So, Christy, thank you so much again. You're an incredible influence in my life, and I really appreciate you being my friend. And any last words for our listeners?
I just want to reiterate what Paul says. You know, we so much appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for those of you that are listening now and those of you that will listen in the future, because you can go back and listen to these episodes later. So just thank you. We appreciate you. Hope that we're able to provide some value to you, that you got some insight from something one of us said, and that it helps helps you to grow as a person.
All right. Okay. I guess we'll sign out for now. Here's to your prosperity, everyone, and wellness, happiness, joy, peace, love, everything. That's what we want for you. And we want it for all of us to share.
Yeah.
I mean, why be greedy? There's enough abundance for everyone. All right.
Yeah, it's an infinite universe.
Absolutely. All right, Christy, we'll talk to you later. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye.